You're listening to Day Waves, and we are now going to be talking to a member of a community within our community, Kunal Mirchandani from Treecone.
Good evening, Phil. How are you?
I'm doing really well. Thank you for your time tonight. What exactly is Treecone and what do you do for the community?
So Treecone Australia is an organization. It's a non-profit organization that has been operating for about 12 years now. So we started over a decade ago as a community group to represent people of South Asian origin living here in Australia. So South Asia, in this particular case, refer to people mainly from the Indian subcontinent, and that includes countries like other than India, obviously. So we've got Pakistan, Sri Lanka, Bangladesh, but we've also got a huge diaspora of South Asians who live outside of their country or of the subcontinent. Many of them live in Australia, and a lot of them who identify as LGBTIQ+ often do not live here with their families. And so they are here by themselves. They've come here because they maybe wanted to explore their freedom a bit more because of a more restrictive culture, or they may not come out to their families as easily. So I think having a sense of friendship and networking and people who can also understand them is a very important aspect of what Treecone provides for people of South Asian origin living here in Australia.
Excellent. So you've been a member of the team there at Treecone for several years, but it wasn't all smooth sailing for you either at first, was it?
That is correct, yeah. So when I first arrived here in Australia, and this was 2005, so quite a while ago now. So When I first arrived here, I was exactly the sort of person who I'm just describing as somebody who moved to Australia because he wasn't sure I was in the process of starting to explore my sexuality, but at the same time, I knew that that was something that I wasn't going to be easily able to do while I was still living with family back home.
Yes.
And so I looked at different options on what could be, you know, what are countries where I could potentially be a little bit more of myself. And I knew that a lot of Western countries allow that freedom and that privilege. And I was quite lucky that I was able to find a pathway to migration here in Australia. But when I first arrived, I was like a kid in a candy store. You could say I was on Oxford Street every Saturday. I had a really good time, but at the same time, I had no intentions, no plans to reveal my sexuality to any of my family members. And I felt that I was living a double life. So I had my life back home, and that, you know, encompassed, you know, regular conversations, phone calls with family, and you know, the inevitable questions around like, when are you getting married? Have you met someone? Which I would always deflect. My own life here in Australia, which I was enjoying. But I also knew that those two lives were irreconcilable. So I would never be able to merge the two. What happened when I first arrived, like a couple of months after I arrived, I started seeking out or looking for other people who were like me, and when I say like me, so not just gay men or people who identify as queer, but also people who are from a similar cultural background, who had a very similar experience. Yes. Obviously, no two people's experience is the same, but there are some commonalities between people of South Asian backgrounds, because I'd soon find out that this person also, you know, is nowhere close to coming out to his or her family members. So after gathering a few friends who are quite similar, we decided that, yeah, you know, what we could do is we could do something that helped bring more people to the fold and help grow the community a bit more, because we found that having each other really helped us. Mm-hmm. And we thought that this could be something that could be of great benefit to other people like us. One thing also that we really, really clamored for was having a safe space where we could enjoy the things that we really love, but at the same time, still be ourselves while we're at it. you know, when you're of an Indian or South Asian background, Bollywood, for example, is a very yes. big part of your life. So you're, you know, they say that a lot of people of South Asian backgrounds are actually, you know, they're born doing the Bhangra, or, you know, they're tapping their feet because they are able to really express their joy and their love through dance. And so it's a big aspect of that culture. There were already a few Bollywood parties here in Sydney, but none of them were catering to a queer audience.
Right.
So that was one of the things that, you know, a few of us decided, okay, we can fill that gap. We can do something where people can do what they love in a place where they can be themselves. And that wasn't just limited to parties. Over the course of the last, you know, 10, 12 years, we've had numerous stage plays, events, talk shows, and the purpose of all that is to create visibility and to help people experience things and know that there are other people like them. So we've received some great feedback over the years around the fact that, you know, this is the first time they've seen a play that they can see themselves in, for example, or a performance where they feel they're represented, or, you know, or an event where they can speak their mind. So I think that is a very important aspect of what we do.
Yeah, that's amazing. And I have seen that there is quite a lot that you do within the organization. How has COVID affected your ability to get the word out over the last few years?
So COVID definitely changed a lot of how we did things. So up until 2019, we used to have, you know, yearly dance parties. We've got a dance party that we have every year called Bar Bombay, which is a queer Bollywood dance party. But that stopped in 2019 because we weren't able to have those in-person events for the next 2 years.
Yes.
We didn't have a stage play that we were able to mount. Because a lot of them actually start by brainstorming and getting people together and getting passionate people together and exploring what talents each one brings to the table. And those opportunities didn't really happen as easily, but that didn't stop us from doing some other events that we were able to do virtually. We were able to hold two Q&A, forums, panel discussions for the 2 years that we weren't able to hold the parties, and they were all held virtually. And we were able to then use that time to explore topics that maybe we hadn't really looked at before the pandemic. Okay. And they were relevant during the time. So things like mental health and the impact of these restrictions and what does it mean? And for people particularly who are young and single and wanting to, you know, meet other people, how does that still happen in a world that had fundamentally changed? So those were great discussions we had, but this year, yeah, we're blessed enough to have the most restrictions lift. So we can't wait for what's to come.
It's coming up in the next couple of weeks. Tell us about Bar Bombay.
That is right. So on the 6th of August, which is a Saturday, after a 2-year hiatus, we are mounting Bar Bombay again. So Bar Bombay is essentially the queer Bollywood dance party that I was mentioning at the start. So it started off as a very small event that we used to hold at the UTS campus in one of the bars there called Manning Bar.
Yes.
Because we knew someone who was able to get us a spot there on a Saturday night. So we
right.
were able to use that as a platform for us to see what demand there is, you know, what sort of response that event would get. And it was just amazing because initially we had in our first dance party about 100, 150 people. And this was probably about, close to 10 years ago now, but it has been really gratifying and fulfilling watching it grow over the years. So very soon we outgrew Manning Bar, we went to the Red Rattler Theater, and then from the Red Rattler Theater, we went to the Factory Theater, and that was in 2017 and 18. In 2019, We were also in Factory Theatre, but in one of the bigger venues there.
Okay.
And we had close to 800 people in Factory Theatre in 2019 because of word of mouth and a lot of pent up energy and really a demand for people to really have a great time. And what was really surprising to me was that, you know, it wasn't just, you know, queer South Asians who were mm-hmm. coming to these party. In fact, a big chunk of them were, straight people, so friends of these people. A lot of men and women who thought, oh, it'll be fun to, you know, try this out as, you know, a Bollywood thing. And they're not even people who are South Asian. So,
okay.
You know, people, so a lot of non-South Asians thought, oh, wow, this could be interesting. It's queer. It's Bollywood. Could be fun. Mm-hmm. We also had a lot of South Asian straight people in there as well. And that to me was also really interesting, watching that community grow, because to me it showed that the worlds are colliding, you know, and what was once a topic that you brush under the table now seems to be part of, like, you know, everyday conversation or dinner table conversation. And so yeah. I feel like that was really good, because suddenly the prospect of reaching out to the more mainstream South Asian community in Western Sydney doesn't seem so far-fetched anymore, you know? So,
no, so that's fantastic.
I think it was, but this year we're back again, and we are at the Metro Theatre in Sydney, which has a bigger capacity than Factory Theatre. So we're seeing brisk ticket sales, and I feel that, you know, especially after a two-year break, a lot of people really feel that, yes, this is our time. We really want to let our hair down. And that's what's amazing about Bar Bombay. It's a place where you can really be yourself. Nobody's going to judge you for who you are. Everybody's welcome, and everybody can, you know, no matter what your body shape, gender, sexuality, everything, you know, it's a place for you.
Amazing. So with the changing opinions that you're saying that the straight South Asian community is bringing, are things changing in South Asia itself in regards to sexuality?
It's amazing how much actually has changed in as far as mainstream discussion of sexuality goes. I think most people, particularly, well, the thing is, South Asia isn't just one region, and India is not just one country. And there's a lot of different regions within India. But if I was to kind of categorize them for the purpose of this discussion, mm-hmm. I'd say that, you know, there'd be people who live, say, in the cities, the major cities, so the urban belt. And then you've got people who live sort of in more remote areas. So they live in small villages or the rural part of, say, India or South Asia. And I think there is still a huge disconnect between the conversations that these two groups are having. But among the city folk, you know, they're exposed to a lot of television shows, Indian television shows, where they've got mainstream gay characters or lesbian characters. And this was something that I never experienced growing up. There's been a couple of mainstream Bollywood movies that tackled homosexuality as their topic. And they've, you know, and it's, you know, the first time I saw a gay character in an Indian movie was when I was a young teenager, and I watched this movie, and the gay character was essentially a caricature,
yes.
you know, the sort of person and the butt of jokes or a bit of a predator. And to me, that was like, okay, no wonder I don't want to come out, because, you know, my mom or my dad are going to think that I'm going to turn out into this character. But having seen it evolve over the years and seeing the more respectful depiction, I know that there's still a long way to go, but seeing it become more mainstream, I feel, has been very heartening for me, because now there's representation in the media, there's you know, role models, and there's, you know, a lot of people who have also come out. So I think, like, you know, it's not just it's a global phenomenon where acceptance of LGBT rights is increasing, some places faster than others. You know, one can always hope that it would be faster than it is, but I'm just happy that, you know, it's moving along.
Ah, that's great. And I guess it mirrors the experience of what we've seen in Australia as well. I guess that must be heartening for people both in South Asia and Australia, that they are seeing those attitudes at home starting to come around. Must give a bit of hope for the future.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, legitimacy makes a huge difference. And I know that, you know, here in Australia, we went through it ourselves with the whole gay marriage debate, and the fact that we needed to go through a plebiscite. But that aside, the fact that it's now become, you know, enshrined in law, I yes. think for a lot of migrants, particularly, I think for them, they will now, it's become a conversation where they're like, okay, there's nothing legally wrong. And so they have to then question, you know, oh, then why am I still, why, yes. why do I still hold these prejudices? Am
That's
I,
right.
like, is it, how can, so they have to like, you know, resolve their cognitive dissonance of something that is legally right, but morally wrong. So they, yes. they, that is a question that, that, you know, they might be having themselves, but a very similar thing happened in India, actually. So up until, I believe it was 3 or 4 years ago, there was a law, there was a ruling that was part of the Indian constitution, and it was called the Section 377 of the Indian Penal Code. And it was a remnant actually of an old British law where,
It's always the British,
you know, those, anti-buggery laws essentially from that time where, and that criminalized homosexuality. And even though it wasn't necessarily enforced, as rigorously, it was a source of harassment for a lot of people when they were, say, So
it was
so
there,
that was something,
so it could be used.
Exactly. And I know that this was something that you know, Australia itself also experienced up until, I believe, the 80s or the 70s.
We had the early 80s. You look at Australia now, and it's not that far back that we went through all of that. Ourselves. I can't take any credit for that, so I'm a little late on that scene.
No, this is why, like, you know, we are enjoying a lot of our freedoms because of the sacrifice of others, and I think it's the same in India. We've got, you know, the people who fought for that Section 377 to be overturned have fought a long and hard battle, but, you know, now that it's overturned, you know, it's no longer illegal to be gay. So that's the same conversation that a lot of people in India are having around, okay, so the government has now recognized it. So they're going to be forced to confront their own prejudices, I hope.
Hopefully, yes. Yeah. So what plans are in the pipeline for the organizers at Treecone?
So Bar Bombay has been all-consuming, as you can imagine. The last couple of months, we've been focusing on making sure that, you know, when you come, you're going to have a great time. We're hell-bent on making sure that, you know, you enjoy your time at Bar Bombay. So what we typically do is we've got stage shows, stage performances for that run for about 10 minutes each, and we've got three of them. So when you come over, make sure that you stay until the very last one, because each one is a labor of love where, you know, you've got all these different people who really are passionate about dance and expression, rehearsing. And we've been rehearsing for the last 4 months weekly, you know, catching up so that we can, you know, perfect these dances. So make sure that that is something that you come and enjoy. But yeah, moving beyond that, we've got a couple of other projects down the line. So we are launching a podcast very soon. It will be called Under the Brown Rainbow. That's a tentative title, but essentially we will be discussing, you know, a different guest every episode who will be discussing their specific experience. We are trying, you know, we've got a lineup already, but we're trying to keep it as diverse as possible. People who have different experiences. One thing that I'm, you know, looking forward to hearing about is somebody who is talking about the intersectionality of a disability and being gay. So, how, what that means from a day-to-day experience. So I feel like it's these are stories from marginal communities that even are marginal for South Asians. So it's just as, you know, you have invited me, and I'm very honored that I'm here in your radio show. I feel that it's very important for us to make space for people and those who are in a position where they've got the privilege of having a platform. I think it comes hand in hand where we have that responsibility to share that platform.
Absolutely right. So in wrapping up, the date for Bar Bombay again?
Yep, it's the 6th of August, Saturday, the 6th of August, and it's at the Metro Theatre in the city. So don't drive, you won't find parking, just catch a train to Town Hall.
Doors open at 9?
Doors open at 9. We've got shows all throughout, as I mentioned. Tickets are available on Ticketek, but you could just log on to www.barbombay.com, and that's going to redirect you to our ticketing site. So Bar Bombay, one word. And if you haven't come along, or if you haven't come before, make sure you do, because this is a party that gets excellent word of mouth, but at the same time, it's that one time when you can let your hair down and just be yourself.
Amazing. And if we have listeners who want to know more about Treecone, where can they find that information?
Yeah, they could just head to treecone.org.au, treecone.org.au. Sign up to our mailing list so that we can keep you updated on all our future events, the launch of our podcast, as well as any upcoming events that we will be hosting for the community.
Fantastic. Kunal, thank you for your time.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me, Phil.
Thank you.